perfectly humbled. They're doing this trek without a GPS. I drive around Nashville with my Maps app.
Hello, Addison.
Hey, Billy. Good to see your enthusiasm. As always.
I am charged up. Glad to be back. Quasi on schedule here for the podcast. We're kind of moving things around a little bit, making it hard to find. Totally apologize for that. I think we published on a Wednesday last week, Tuesday this week. It had always been on a Monday.
I know. There's just been a lot happening in our world professionally, Billy. we're trying to keep up.
Ideally, it's going to be a Monday, but honestly, I feel like Tuesday is going to be kind of a more regular thing. Try to avoid the Wednesday publishing, but we cover country music as kind of our full-time job, and we've had a lot of artist interviews in and a couple of personal things going on as well. Mm-hmm. That's made the Monday publish difficult, so bear with us. I think this podcast is going to be great, though, so worth the extra day wait.
And I promise if you don't hear from us on Monday, we have not disappeared. We would tell you if that happened.
I'll at least send out a tweet that says, like, hey, Addison and I got fired, no more podcast.
And let's pray that day never happens.
We'll send that out in a tweet. We got doged.
Alrighty, well, kicking things off, I'm not going to forget this week because I tend to just get so excited about talking about the episode that I forget Billy's favorite part. Let's talk about trivia. What was last week's and who won?
Last week's trivia, as always, for a t-shirt from the Y collection at Taste of Country Store. First person to correctly answer the trivia question this week, each week, gets one of those t-shirts. And last week, the question was, name three real-life people portrayed by actors in the Yellowstone franchise universe. Can you give me one?
Not no.
One?
No. We've 1,000,000% talked about them, but I would have to go Google right now.
Charles Goodnight. One. Boom. Charles Goodnight was portrayed by Taylor Sheridan. We talked about it again and again. He is one. Another one could be Bass Reeves from the show Lawman. Bass Reeves, which I think at the end of the day we panned as a series, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, we only did, we dabbled in it, and then y'all didn't really, you weren't as invigorated about us covering, so we said, all right.
Marshal Jim Courtright, played by Billy Bob Thornton in 1883, was another one. And now we have Marshal Mammy Fawcett, played by Jennifer Carpenter in 1923. A couple of those I think we mentioned last week. So really, you only had to come up with one on your own if you wanted to answer this trivia question.
So who won?
Nobody. Nobody answered the trivia question correctly. There was a lot of emails last week, but no one took a shot at the trivia question, so no winner.
You know what, Billy? You know what this tells me? That you made it too hard. People don't like a completely like dumbfounded question. And you know what? I stand with the people.
Well, clearly, because you couldn't come up with one either on the front end, so... You know, it's important to find those limitations. So I'll back down a little bit. So no one's going to get that t-shirt this week. But I got a new trivia question that I think is a little bit easier for the t-shirt this week. Are you ready?
You bet your bottom dollar I am.
You let me know if this is as hard, easier. Here we go. What book was Alex reading from to convince the immigration official she was worthy of being led into America?
I only know this because I just produced our video on the episode recap.
She says the author during the scene. And then she reads from it. And I think if you just Google the author and guess one of his most famous books of poetry, 50-50 chance you're going to be correct.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave your guess.
That's right. First person in gets one of those t-shirts. Tasteofcountrystore.com is the website if you want to check out t-shirts from the Y collection.
Episode 3, it's not that it wasn't uneventful, but we really just stayed in one plot. Like, it was Alex's episode, very much so.
We sort of anticipated that coming because there was so little Alex during episode two. So we thought, okay, episode three, they're going to make up for that. Well, boy, did they. Wow, that was, I think, a good 30 to 40 minutes of the episode, I feel like, was Alex at Ellis Island. Mm-hmm. And it was, in a lot of ways, an Ellis Island history lesson.
My question for you, so we were set with she can't actually come into New York because she doesn't have her papers. So she's going through this whole immigration process on Ellis Island. And it's pretty invasive and brutal. Was that accurate?
I thought so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the degree to which people are examined physically, mentally, and otherwise just to gain admittance, I wonder how that's changed mm-hmm. over the years. Some of those exams probably take place maybe even before you travel now. Certainly, like, for example, if you're traveling to Africa, you need Correct. To get a series of vaccines to get Correct. Into the country. You know, but people showing up just on the doors of any country, any European or modern country, what kind of tests are they given nowadays? Gosh, that's a question I would like an answer to. There was just no sensitivity. Like the doctors, it was very cold,
mm-hmm.
I thought. Not brutal. Like you didn't get a sense that necessarily the doctors were taking advantage of these immigrants necessarily. Like there was a woman doctor on hand to sort of witness the gynecological exam for Alex. So you didn't get that sense. What really, until we got to the immigration official who enters Alex, that people are sort of taking advantage of this situation. But gosh, three doctors and all of that and the illnesses they need to inspect for. Yeah, there's a lot more illnesses back then too, because they didn't have a good vaccine system to sort of eradicate some of that.
That's true.
And learning about Ellis Island at the time, there was a bit of a change of culture right around that time. Like this was post-World I, and at the time it seemed like there was a lot of anti-immigration sentiment coming out mm-hmm. of World War I. So maybe that was some of the doctors and the inspectors were projecting that. And probably there was a really good influx of people coming in to Ellis Island around that time as well. So I think that period in particular, times were changing on Ellis Island. But the degree to which it was like, you know, how brutal it was before and after, I'm not sure. I do think Taylor Sheridan was probably pretty accurate in how he portrayed Ellis Island in 1923, 1924.
The concern here is that, at first when she was being examined, I'm like, maybe they won't find out that she's pregnant. Maybe they won't find out that she's pregnant because she's not showing necessarily yet. And then they find out that she's pregnant and all hell breaks loose. Not actually, but just the now concern is they're not admitting people in that are pregnant.
They figured it out pretty easily too. The doctor just kind of pushes on her stomach a little bit and the gig's up.
You didn't tell me something. I'm like, is it really that easy? I mean, I haven't been there, done that, but that seems a little too easy.
Yeah, he's certainly got some experience. And we find out, okay, so we find out a few things about Alex on a personal level during this episode. One, her birth date, April 1st, 1901, which puts her at 23 going on 24. Because we're in 1924 now, right? Like this year calendar has flipped. Yeah, I think so. Like we're in the winter, like we're on the...
Okay.
The cusp wouldn't that be, of spring.
Wouldn't that be okay? I like don't want to question your math.
Well, we're either in 1924 or the show started in 1922.
Okay, so maybe she's, to your point, 23 or 24.
Yeah, or 20. She's somewhere there, young 20s. But we also find out she's 4 months pregnant, so that gives us a little bit of a timeline. So she's going to be showing here pretty soon, if she's not already. Actually, kind of surprised she's not showing more than she was. And we also find out why we didn't – I had to do some research to figure this out. The reason we never really figured out her last name is because she is just truly Alexandra, Countess of Sussex. Like that is her name. Like that's not just name and title, but she really has this, like, and I found out because Meghan Markle is now Meghan Duchess of Sussex.
Yes.
She's not Markle. Like there's not like another last name that royals have.
And I only knew about that, Billy, because of her new TV series that she has out. And they did a little clip of it. And I was like, oh, like I didn't fully know the protocol on that.
Did you find the Ellis Island scene and I mean the whole thing? Were you glued to your television? Was it too much? Did you get a little, I don't know, how did you sort of rate that part of the episode?
In the beginning, I was in. I found it very interesting. I mean, not to sound naive, but I didn't fully know about that whole time period and what was going on with immigrants and how that really worked. And so for me, in the beginning, I was like, this is genuinely really fascinating, very knowledgeable. And then it was about 10 minutes too long where I was like, all right, I'm kind of dozing off. Like, I think we could speed things up. Like, it did feel a little long.
I tend to agree. And I think part of the reason I agree with that is because we're now episode 3 of season 2. And Alex is just getting to America. And Spencer is just getting into deep into Texas. Like, yeah. When are we getting them to Montana or at least finding out their fate at this point? So a huge history lesson like this was like, okay, I would have been cool with this somewhere along the way in season 1. That extra 10 minutes, to your point, was a little much for season 2.
Remind me, do you know how many episodes are in season 2?
I do. 8 episodes for season 2.
Okay.
And I only know that might be public information that's sort of out there. Like, oftentimes I find, like, especially when you search sites like IMDb or even Wikipedia, like, they will give you the episode names. And I don't know how they get that information. But I talked to my friend Clyde last week. And I want to point out, we're 12 minutes in here, and I'm just getting to Clyde.
Which that's mind-blowing.
I've been looking to shoehorn this interview in as early and often as I possibly can. But he mentioned it's an 8-episode run.
Okay, so come this Sunday, we'll be halfway through.
That would be correct. Yeah, we'd be through episode 4. And I don't think we're all that close to getting those two crazy kids to Montana, right? I think episode 5 is in my mind when they're going to get there, which only leaves us 3 episodes to sort of resolve what's going to happen.
Please hold 1 second. There's someone at my door.
I'm excited to find out who this is. Okay, let's take a quick poll. Who do we think is going to be at Addison's door? She lives in kind of an urban area, so it could be a delivery man. Could it be a salesman, perhaps? I don't think she's in a part of town where maybe some religious solicitors will come knocking at her door. I've had that happen, but I think this time on a Tuesday afternoon is, that'd be unusual. And the winner is?
What happened?
Who was at the door?
Okay, I thought it was something important, like FedEx, like I'm going to have to sign off on something. It was a door-to-door salesman for HelloFresh.
It was a door-to-door salesman. That was one of the 3, and I picked that as not likely. Those people still exist.
Well, here's the problem. Where I'm seated right now in my kitchen, my door is just completely glass. And so normally just doorbells that I'm not expecting something, I'm like, I'll just ignore it. But the man can quite literally see me. So I was like, oh gosh, 1 second.
Door-to-door salesman, certainly a throwback to the early 19th century, or early 20th century, when those kind of things. I remember my grandma always telling me about the Fuller Brush Man. The Fuller Brush Man was someone who would, or like a knife salesman. Like, this is a thing. I have not had a door-to-door salesman outside of AT&T and Comcast in a decade plus. Once in a while, a good steak salesman will come by.
I'm jealous. I need to put no soliciting on my door because I get door-to-door salesmen all the time in this area of Nashville.
Have you ever had someone, this is a total tangent here, but have you ever had someone come by your house trying to sell steak or meat?
No, that seems sketchy.
Here's their pitch. Knock, knock, knock. Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm in your area and I got this truck full of steak and do you want it? That's their pitch. Every time. And I don't know why that is, but that's that. Maybe that works for them.
I am. I'm. You've left me speechless. I'm more so concerned, like, that does not seem normal. You know, in twice the stranger danger, happened. That's the stranger danger to me. Red light, 100%. Red light.
Okay. Back to Alex and Ellis Island.
Maybe we'll get like a HelloFresh dealer, a sponsorship after this. Yes, back to Alex and Ellis Island.
She does eventually get through when she reads a couple of poems from a famous poet. I don't think, and I did a little research, I don't think she was reading one continuous poem. I think she read selections, and she ended up kind of shaming the immigration official. How that worked in real life seems a little bit questionable, but I was willing to kind of go with it because she seemed to prove that she was smarter than him, and maybe in that, that character was sort of shamed and just sort of stamped it and let her pass.
And two, I thought she really showed her wisdom when she could flip, like she knew that book. And so she like started on one poem and she was like, actually, we're going to read from whatever she ended up reading. But she knew exactly where to turn to. Like she was knowledgeable on the literature that he was handing her. But also she shamed him by essentially saying like, hey, when you go home tonight, you might want to wipe off that lipstick and on your neck and
yeah.
implying that, you know, he was letting some people through the back door by giving him favors. And yeah.
Part of the reason why it seemed like it was so long, because it wasn't just Ellis Island. It was afterwards on the streets of New York and then in the Grand Central Station. She runs into a man whose name was, oh gosh, Marvin. Marvin was.
You're good with the names. I don't remember the names. I remember the character. I'm like, oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
No. I just looked it up and I found a website that had all the credits because I wanted to figure out who this guy was. Because the actor who played Marvin, and he was the vendor that helps mm-hmm. out Alex quite a bit. He looked like this kind of guy who might be someone famous. So like one of those bit characters that Taylor. He wasn't, but the guy was remarkable for something beyond just his acting career. And this is kind of funny. Damian Leake is the actor who plays Marvin. She's the guy that helps her with the map, the nice old guy who gets to the taxi cab. He's had a long acting career, bit roles, television, film, like a very much a working actor for a better part of 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. When you Google his name, the first thing that comes up is he is the fastest man over 70.
Stop.
He set the world record in the 100-meter dash, 12.31 seconds as a 70-year-old. Fairly Stop. Recently.
Pop off, sir. That's yes, so sir. Cool.
That man will kick your ass on a track. I promise I could not go 12:31 in a 100-meter dash.
Now I want to interview him, but in person at a track and field. At a track. Track and field is the event. I'm sorry. At a track.
There's this interview he does where like he's talking just after the race.
Oh.
And he's all breathy. Like he's, you know, just like kind of like the athletes do after the Olympics. It's tremendous.
I thought you were going to say we should do an interview with him as we're walking. I'm here for this.
A large part of what's to come on this season of 1923 has already sort of been revealed to us. And I kind of forgot about this, but the show released both a teaser video and then an official trailer, which shows events that we've not yet seen. So like when the bowler cap is threatening mm-hmm. Alexandra at the very end. There's that teaser. Mm-hmm. Well, A, I see what's going to happen there because it was in the trailer. And then there's also a scene of Alex running through Grand Central Station. So I know
right after,
to a certain degree, she at least escapes his immediate clutches.
Yeah.
But there is no footage of her and Spencer reuniting in any of those trailers.
That is true. So, well, and we also see that Elizabeth is most likely not actually going to leave because we see footage of her yes. later as well.
That's right. Elizabeth is threatening to leave Jack,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think anybody really believes is going to happen. Like, is anybody who's been around teenage, young girls, college age girls know they're a little impulsive, say things they don't want to mean, especially right. if they're on the drink. Not that she is, but.
It's like, is she? I don't she remember this. But... I mean, Billy's alluding to so much here.
Mm-mm. Same kind of feeling though, right? She's just saying things in the heat of the moment that she. So I don't think anybody thinks she's leaving, and we have the footage to prove that she doesn't. We do have a lot of footage of Spencer, though, out of Texas, though. Like, he's hopping a freight train, and he's running into trouble with people on board of a freight train.
Mm-hmm.
He's on another train that seems to be in kind of a dining car at some point. So, like, we have evidence that he gets further, deeper into America, and that we don't have evidence of that, of Alex, that worries me.
That they're not actually going to reunite and Spencer's never going to actually make it?
I worry how far she'll get. Yeah.
Oh, Alex, not yeah. Spencer. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, that's depressing.
Totally.
I think I feel better about her making it than him, just because she's with child.
I think he needs to get to Montana and be part of that final gunfight that we know that's going to happen. Again, from the trailer, we've mm-hmm. seen some clips of that. Like, I don't see a way that he's not there for that. Right?
Oh, that's rough.
This is the really strange thing about 1923, and I don't know if there's another show like this. We know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, because we have Yellowstone.
100%. And not only that, we have Thomas Rainwater. So, spoiler alert, Tiona's probably going to make it through her battle with Father Raynaud and Marshall Kent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we know how that ends,
mm-hmm.
too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm all in, but, like, there's not really any question of if Tiona lives or dies or if who gets the ranch at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah.
I think Spencer needs to be there for that fight.
That's sad. But I will say this. Well, two things I thought of in this episode. I'm like, man, Spencer's got to have calves of steel because he is on foot for so much of this journey. And two, unfortunately, Luca's stint on television was short-lived. He dies, which I'm like, I hate to say this, but he had it coming. As soon as when Spencer is like, hey, like, let's go on foot. Let's ditch. Like, your cousin isn't worth this. Let's ditch the car, and let's continue on foot. And Luca's like, no, got to do it for my brother. Which I don't know what accent that was I just gave you. And, you know, he's going to ride off. I'm like, your stubbornness is infuriating. Like, your cousin doesn't care about you. And as soon as he started driving off, I'm like, you're dead. Like, before the shoot-off scene happened, I knew he was going to die.
He got over the tips of his skis a little bit and kind of forgot who he was. I agree. Still, I thought his death was a little unceremonious. Like, he just kind of went, like, his plan was to just with that pistol try to shoot his way through the roadblock.
Right, with multiple people.
Like, that was poorly thought out. I liked the Luca character. I thought they kind of did him dirty. But yeah, he made a bad decision. So now Spencer's, I guess, going to walk from here, right?
That's why I said calves of steel.
And he'll meet up with Mammy Fawcett, the marshal, because we have that scene from the trailer as well of those two coming together. I ultimately think she's on the good guy's side.
I agree.
You agree?
I agree. Yeah. I think she's quickly realizing Father Raynaud and his group are not as... They're not coming with great intentions.
Yeah, she was skeptical of them from the get-go, and now she has the evidence to support that. She now knows that they killed those Comanche boys. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much help she's going to be for her fellow Marshall and Father Raynaud. And both those guys seem to be on to Tano's plan. They've figured it out that their plan is to head south, hide in with the Comanches, and maybe get to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Which, once again, we kind of know that's the case from what we learned from Thomas Rainwater. So they're moving quickly to Texas now, I think, which is where Runs His Horse and Tiona are, and where Spencer is as well. So there's a potential meeting / battle with Spencer coming. I'm holding to that. I don't think that plot line is going to go all the way to episode 8. I think we might get some resolution episode 5, episode 6.
I was quickly humbled with Spencer and Alex both of they're doing this excursion and trek without a GPS. And I know that that obviously was created. So I drive around Nashville with my Maps app. Like I would be dead meat, and I am fully, fully okay with admitting that. Like I would be dead meat. I know the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. So I do have that, but yeah, I was humbled. I was like, shoot, I would be dead.
Just keep that morning sun to your right, and you're okay, I think, is Spencer's guiding post. You know, this was a strange episode because we didn't see like so many characters, like the sheriff. We didn't see Banner. We didn't see Don Whitfield. We didn't mm-hmm. see, like, there was a lot of the cast that we didn't get really anything from, which I thought was kind of unusual.
I'm fine with Banner and Whitfield. I don't love them. So the less they are on my television.
Fair.
But I would have liked to see Kara and Jacob more.
Yeah. I mean, Kara really hasn't done anything this season outside of just kind of tend the home and say, it's been a hard winter. Her acting's been tremendous, but like she hasn't had a goal or a mission yet, I guess.
I think her mission is just keep the animals out of the home. Like she is
trying to get the train on the tracks.
Yeah, she is kind of she's a matriarch, but she's a patriarch in the sense of like the leader of the household at the moment. I mean, Jacob is now back, but there's nothing that we see in episode 3 of him defending the home.
I really only have one true criticism about 1923 so far. I found this to be a pretty good show. A bit of a slow start to the season, in my opinion. Good. But maybe not as action-packed as I wanted it to be, which I'm fine with. You know, it's been solid.
I'm fine with.
Like. My problem is with the whole Zane plotline.
Oh, like what are we going to do with that? It's just kind of there.
I don't feel like in season 1 we got to know Zane well enough to really care about him. So mm-hmm. when they shoehorned in that misogyny plotline
mm-hmm.
with his wife and his kids, I wasn't attached to his character, his family's character, enough to really want that or be invested in that. And now here we are 3 episodes in and we're with Zane and the family back at the ranch and he has to undergo this surgery where they're going to drill into his head without anesthesia. I'm not in yet. You know, I'm like, okay, why? You know, I'm still not invested in, it seems to be coming at the cost of some characters who I may not like, but I'm invested in Banner and Jacob.
Right.
Banner and Don Whitfield, for example. Jack and Elizabeth, I'm kind of invested in, and I want to see where that goes. Like, I just wish there had been more Zane early in season 1, so when we got to this point, I cared a little bit more.
Right, like, what's the point of having him...
Yeah.
Not having him around, that sounds harsh, but...
little. I need to see, like, this needs to pay off, and so I need to know at the end of this season... why we had to watch all this other than to just present another sort of part of early 20th yeah. century American life.
Like why the whole, I'm assuming episode 4, we'll get the drilling of his skull and all the above.
100%.
The surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we will as well. And maybe his character and his wife's character take on a greater significance down the line. Like maybe they're more than just the wagon boss to a certain degree.
Maybe. I think that's, I would place money on that that's not going to happen. And we're just going to be left with a confusing, why is this a plot point?
Yeah. And if that's the only thing that we're left with that we don't care for, I'm fine with that. Like, cool. Mm-hmm. I hope that's not the case, but I don't know. I think towards the end of Yellowstone, maybe we got accused of being a little overly critical. I think we were fairly critical because we weren't super fans. This isn't the official Yellowstone podcast, so we're not going to just kind of geek out and praise the show like they're paying our paychecks. So I want to be careful about, like, this is really my only criticism of 1923 is this plot line. I feel like so far. Yeah. Now, if we get another sleepy episode 4 here, next Monday might be a little bit of a different episode.
I think we've covered, am I missing anything that we... haven't touched on?
I think that's the bulk of it. What are you looking forward to happening this coming episode? Because this is it, right? You haven't watched...
Yeah. Now I'm not up to date. Like, I haven't pre-watched any of them.
Yeah, you had watched 1, 2, 3 before mm-hmm. you did the interviews with Julia Schleipfer and Michelle Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, we're running back the Michelle Randolph interview at the end of this podcast, correct?
We sure are.
Yeah, okay, good. So now... you don't know what's going to happen, so you can sincerely kind of guess what you think might happen without having the answers already.
I'm interested to see, I think we'll see more of Alex's journey. I think we're going to figure out what happened with the guy coming into the bathroom when she's at Grand Central Station. I'm interested to see that. I'm interested to see Jack and Elizabeth. Are they going to have a heated conversation of like what their relationship stands? Is she actually going to, which obviously we said that we don't think she's going to leave, but I think episode four, I'm hoping to see that conversation. And yeah, I don't know when it comes to Banner and Whitfield, like, are we circling back to the whole ski resort, ski attraction? Like, are we going to touch on that episode four? I don't necessarily know. And then when it comes to Spencer, part of me feels like we might not see, this might not be a Spencer heavy episode. That's a hot take, but I'm thinking it might not be.
I think it's probably going to be a heavy Banner, Don Whitfield episode. Okay. Because we didn't see them at all last week. My prediction for Spencer is that we'll get him past Texas, Oklahoma. Like, if he's going to interact with Tiona, it's going to happen this coming week. Like, I don't think he'll just be stuck in Amarillo, wherever he is, another week. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but that's my theory there. And then, yeah, I think this will be a pivotal week for Alex, but I don't know necessarily how far she's going to kind of move along that trip west.
No, I agree with that. Alrighty, I have some Q&A for us, unless you have, awesome. I don't want to cut you off if you have more.
No, that's all I got. Staff@tasteofcountry.com. If you have questions, comments, conspiracy theories, or concerns, got some great emails and YouTube comments this week. So excited to dig into those.
Yeah, I actually have a good amount for us today, so this will be fun. The first one is from Sarah, who says, as a history teacher, I love all the ways this show works hard to bring real history into the story. So I find it frustrating when they get smaller details wrong. As a British citizen and one with a title, Alex would have had a passport at this time. The British required passports after World War I. U.S. citizens didn't use them until after World War II. But Alexandra, with all her travel, surely would have packed her passport on the most important journey of her life. And obviously would have been let right in, with or without a marriage certificate because of her title.
Well, she certainly got around Africa pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So she clearly had a passport at one time.
I'm kind of thinking, like, since Africa and then her journey to America, she went home. Do you think her family took it from her, maybe, to prevent her from traveling?
I think that's the theory we have to sort of go with. They took her travel documents, so she had to kind of get in this way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she seemed like she was raised in a family that wouldn't do those types of things. Like, she was very strong-willed and independent, so she had to learn that from somebody. Mm-hmm. And had to have been given some form of independence. But I think that's the working theory, is that her travel documents must have been taken for her. Because she most certainly had one. I mean, this is great feedback from Sarah. And I'm kind of looking for a little bit of a historical perspective from someone who knows. So she clearly would have had one. I like that idea better than it's just sort of a plot hole. And it makes more sense to me, I think.
Alrighty, the next one from X27 Evolution on our YouTube channel says, suppose Alex gets to Bozeman before Spencer, saying her new last name and going around town asking where the Dutton Ranch is? The town is crawling with Banner's people. Is there a kidnapping getting set up, I wonder? Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, like, she sort of flaunts in, this pretty British gal with blonde hair is like, yes, can you help me get to the Dutton Ranch? And, you know, when Clyde, my boy Clyde's like, yes, I sure can. Let me take you right to him. Left turn to Don Whitfield's house. Yeah, totally could see that happening.
Wait, I would be here for that plot line. That's fascinating and fun. I mean, not fun for her, but like fun for the viewer.
An Alex kid. As I look for ways to sort of entice people into watching our videos, you might see an Alex kidnapping a headline coming up soon. But I digress. That's a great point, though. Thank you.
I have another one, and I love this person's handle. From Feisty Old Gal 8257 says, Alex is getting a real introduction to how most people lived compared to her shelter life before. I mean, you ain't wrong.
there was not a lot of sympathy for Alex's troubles at Ellis Island. A lot of people were basically just like, girl, it's a gynecological exam. Get over it. And it happens every day. It's been happening for decades. Like, you weren't assaulted. You weren't sexually assaulted. No one was like, toughen up. So I found that a little surprising because it did seem like a bit of a unexpected, harrowing experience for her. But gritty old gals like feisty old gal were just like, come on, girl.
Suck it up.
They're like Aunt Kara slapping her across the face, and giving her the what it's like to be a woman speech.
The next one we have is also from YouTube, from C.S. Martin, who says, best Yellowstone actor? It's Faith or Helen. Maybe Tim in the running. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it was Faith. Helen got you. Faith? Faith Hill girl? No.
Faith outperformed expectations.
Oh, for sure. But it wasn't, like, I'm going to give you Kelly Riley before.
I would agree. I thought Faith was very good as Margaret Dutton.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Better than a lot of actors that we've seen on the show, in fact. And Helen. So this came from a video recap we did on Monday where I sort of put that question to the audience, like, who is the best act? What's the best acting performance we've seen so far on this show? Kelly Riley, I think, has to be in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Mirren, I think, is very good. Which men have been particularly... John Dutton, Kevin Costner's acting performance, didn't ask much of them. Like, it was very good. And maybe there are some nuances that an actor might point out to sort of raise the bar there for him. But I didn't think he was. I thought Luke Grimes was maybe a little bit of a better actor at times than John Dutton or Kevin Costner.
Luke Grimes, Cole Hauser, who plays Rip. And then I would say Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Or Tim was good, but Harrison Ford was better.
He might be one of those of not asking too much of him, similar to Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be good. So let us know what you think there. Be curious to kind of continue that conversation. But Helen and Kelly are the two that come to mind for me.
Last one I have for us is also from YouTube. It says, season two has you anticipating season three, and there's no season three planned? I think everybody in Hollywood, including streaming services, are on drugs. Nobody can be this stupid to end this series at the end of season two.
So a little bit of chatter now about if this show is going to continue. If you recall, Taylor Sheridan had said that this was one sort of drama split into two parts. He was very clear, and I think this was in 2022 or 23, that this was going to be two seasons. And I remember Helen and Harrison only signed up for a second season after season one had concluded. We had gotten a little bit of a note from someone in the know that now it's not confirmed that season two is the final season. So this is someone with someone tied attached to the show that hedged a little bit on that bet, that maybe there could be a season three. I'm rooting for it just being done after two seasons.
I am too. However, when I interviewed Michelle Randolph, which y'all will hear in a minute, she didn't know, like, when she said she was sad when the season wrapped, she didn't say, I was sad when the show, like, we were at the end and the show officially wrapped. Like, that's how I would word that if I knew it was fully done and not just like, I'm sad this season's done.
Because if there's a season three,
we might be
there's going to be someone thinking about a season four and then a season five. And then we're going to start to have
Yellowstone Jr.
Right. You know, it's not going to be as strong. Like, two really good seasons. Boom, I'm done. That's why I was so happy about how 1883 ended. It's like one great season and they were done. Like, there was no chance for that season, for the storyline to get watered down.
Yeah, well, that's true. Staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can let us know your thoughts and also answer the trivia question.
I'm excited for people to hear your Michelle Randolph interview. You might remember her as Ainsley Norris on Landman as well, which I don't believe you talked about at all, but you'll hear that voice, I think, when Michelle talks. You'll hear Ainsley's voice more so than you will Elizabeth's voice. Mm-hmm. Right? She's more like Ainsley to me than she is Elizabeth.
Yes. Well, yes. She's not as much of a spitfire as Ainsley is.
No, no, no. She's much more modest.
Yeah.
But she's
like, I think I would be friends with her in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas Elizabeth Stratford is a little bit more upper crust, sort of almost royalty in her own sort of way.
Yeah.
American royalty.
Well, y'all, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone 1923 podcast is another exploratory Town Square Media podcast. And I would like to note before we head into the Michelle Randolph interview, I actually got our outro correct this time, Billy.
It's much more fun when you don't. I tell you what, I'm going to raise a glass. Addison, raise that beaker you've been sipping from and we'll toast to your correct intro.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for just chatting with me. I want to enter this on a just a fun, lighthearted note. You got to work so closely with Helen and Harrison. And so I want to know, what's a sweet memory? We can go like on screen or really just like on a personal note. Do you have a sweet memory where you're like, oh my gosh, this will live forever in my mind?
Honestly, like every moment on set with them, it's crazy because like I learned so much in scenes with both of them. I mean, I worked a lot with Helen specifically, but like just getting to know her off screen too. Like you sit in chairs on set for so many hours, and she just like she couldn't be more lovely. She was always concerned that I was cold, which I found very sweet.
Were you always cold?
Yes. Yes, I was.
You did fit.
Yes.
Was there any sweet, I mean, I think that's really sweet just in moments like that where you just get to have conversation with people and people that, you know, you look up to. Is there anything that you took, and I'm sure there's so much, so me asking one thing, you're like, oh my gosh, but is there one thing that you really, a nugget that you'll take with you of advice, life?
Yeah, I mean, I really, again, like you said, like there's so many things that Helen taught me or just like things that she would say that have really stuck with me and will forever. But like the number one thing that I have taken from working with her is that like she genuinely loves this and she's so passionate and like every single day she cares about every single scene and every take. And I think just like that level of dedication is why she is who she is. And so I was just very inspired by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have loved why I watched you in Landman and then seeing you in 1923. I love seeing just you be able to play such a wide range of characters. And I think specifically with Elizabeth, I mean, her and Jack experienced so much, specifically season one. And now we come into season two, the first three episodes of y'all have been through so many brutal moments. And so I want to know, we can either go this season or even last season. Was there a moment because obviously you're playing a character, but you're also you. And so was there any scene that was really emotional to film that you might have taken with you home that you didn't necessarily expect?
I think there's like multiple scenes in season two that were just like hard to come off of because like the stakes are really high in season two and there is a lot of tragedy that goes on and like when you care about a character a lot or you're on set all day in these like very intense emotional scenes, it's like you can't just like turn it off immediately. But like I spent so much time with the cast and crew that like we all just really were there for each other throughout the whole filming process. And also I think like genuinely the most emotional scene for me was just the very last one because it's like, oh my gosh, we're wrapping up another season. I'm not ready to say goodbye right now.
Was there a way, you know, I think when fans hear this and they might not always realize that, you know, you can't just turn it off. I mean, you are Elizabeth. So is there anything like, what do you do, I guess, to kind of slowly but surely step back once the director's yelled cut?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I really have to stay in it when I'm filming it on set. And then as soon as the day is over, like, I just have to go home and be in silence and do a lot of journaling. I call my mom. I mean, I also, like, we were on location. And so, like, it was really nice to not have to go back to, like, the chaos of, like, you're personal real life. Like, I was really just able to kind of immerse myself into 1923 world for like a month and a half straight. And so that was helpful as well.
I love, what is girl time? I love everything you, like you, Julia, have posted together of time off, off screen. What do you know? Like, are we watching rom-coms? Like, what does this look like when we can hang out?
Gosh, everything. I mean, I think like half the time we just don't stop talking. And then exploring. I mean, we really have gotten, I think what's fun is like we've all explored so much of Montana together. And so that was like definitely a highlight just of filming in general.
Yeah. Was there a favorite spot that y'all went to?
I went to Whitefish and Glacier Park, which is like one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. And it was like right before it snowed. So it was like that crisp kind of like fall merging into November. And like that by far, I have to go back there because it was just perfect.
Oh my gosh, that sounds, and you, I think you're based in California, right? So I'm sure just like experience that type of season too was really...
Yeah, we don't get that here at all.
What would you, so focusing on season one and then these first three episodes of season two, what has been the biggest script surprise to you? And did you ever at any point get angry and almost come up to Taylor being like, excuse me, can we rewrite this a little differently?
I think I felt that more so in season one, because when I first booked the job, like I only had the first three or four scripts. And so like throughout filming is when I would get the new episodes. And I thought for so long of season one that I would be written riding a horse, because I was like, just went through 2 weeks of cowboy camp. Like there's no way I'm not going to. And so that was definitely something I was like, when I saw Taylor, I was like, can I please get on a horse? At least like I have this skill now. I need to show it. So that was... Yeah.
Well, then I guess, and because this is not a spoiler necessarily, but do you eventually get to go on? Michelle, are you going on a horse at some point?
I can't tell you.
Oh. Sorry. I just feel like, dang it. Okay. Well, we'll have to circle back. I hope for your sake that you got, I mean, that's a lot of, like you said, this is a skill, like you want to prove that you can.
Yes. But honestly, like it's just a good skill to have. So I'm happy regardless.
What would you say, obviously, Jack and Elizabeth, y'all are a couple on 1923, so you spend a lot of time on screen, off screen. I love asking this question when situations like this arise. What would you say, and I know he's not here, but what would you say is a quirk of his that you've learned, and then what would he potentially say about you?
Oh, that's so funny. I feel like, Darren and I have such a, like, he's one of my great friends, and I feel like we just make fun of each other most of the time that we're on set. I mean, I feel like he probably would say that I drink way too much water. And
I drink, girl.
Yeah, I like I can't. And then I don't know what his quirks are. He always repeats like a line to me from season one. Like we just quote one of this one scene to each other constantly. So that's something kind of silly, I guess.
What's the scene?
It's when he says, it's actually, it's our first scene together, when he says, like, your daddy's a rancher, honey, you know the deal. And so we just, like, constantly repeat that phrase to each other. We've probably said it a million times.
You need it on a shirt now at this point.
Yeah, that your daddy's a rancher, honey, you know the deal.
I want to know how much, now knowing kind of, like, how your role plays in 1923, how much did knowledge of what the Dutton family becomes in Yellowstone shape your character? Kind of like working backwards, how did that shape it for you?
Just how strong the women are, especially Beth Dutton, like her fiery side and the like strength of the Dutton women, I think is like what I took most from watching Yellowstone. And I also actually felt that way about 1883 too, is Elsa. And I love that she narrates the show. Like, I just think that's such a, like, it's very sentimental. It makes me emotional to, like, hear her voice because I was so attached to her character in 1883.
I love that Taylor has brought her throughout all three. Absolutely.
Yeah. It ties it together really nicely.
Have you gone to Isabel May? Have you gotten to meet her yet?
No, I haven't met her.
Oh, I hope that.
I do, too. I would love to meet her.
Last question for you as we wrap up. Okay, so if your character, Elizabeth, had access to Google, What do you think would be the first thing that she Googles?
How deadly is rabies?
That was good.
Thank you.
How deadly is rabies? That's a good one. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for your time, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.